Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do greet you this morning at Piney Hill Baptist Church for our worship hour. As we come this morning, we pray that God will continue to bless you and keep you. And we're so happy to join you this morning on Second Sunday, beautiful Sunday school lesson. This morning, we're free to worship. We're going to continue that vein this morning of worshiping the Lord and hoping that each of you this morning is excited about being in the house of the Lord this morning. Are you excited?
Amen.
I'm glad to be here this morning. Let's give them some hands up of praise this morning.
Amen.
I don't know, my wife was practicing some song all week. I don't know whether you got that song ready to sing this morning. You ain't got nothing ready to sing this morning? All righty. Well, we got to sing something then. Let's go ahead and sing that when you're singing.
I love to praise Him.
I love to praise His name.
Come on, let's sing. Truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
In the day when I cried, thou answered me, strengthened me with my strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, and when thy hear the words of thy mouth, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Thou the Lord be high, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect for the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Though thou stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. And the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his holy and his righteous word. You may be seated. You know, as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, as a Christian that wants to be able to give God all I got, I find myself, Clarissa, I found myself just sometimes not praising God the way that I should. I don't know, do I have any witnesses in the house? Have you ever got to that point where you just didn't feel like you was giving God all the praise that was honored unto him? We should find ourselves coming short of sometime. And, you know, praise is a difficult subject. We talked about it this morning. Difficult subject to talk about praise. You know, between them dominations, between different faiths, and between even believers in a particular church. Some of us think that I praise him because I do this, or you praise him because you do that. And you must not be praising God. I don't hear you opening your mouth up like you should. But we don't know. We don't know how the individual praises God. You know, and so we can praise athletes. Oh, God, we can lift up our voices, ain't it? Our athletes, we can give them all of the hands. We can raise our hand. We can jump on our feet. And we can be part of a celebration inside of a football, basketball court, baseball, golf, boxing, whatever the sport is. We can get into a state of frenzy.
Come on, preacher.
Over our team, over our player, over the individual that we want to support. We can experience all kinds of emotion, joy. And my Redskins or the Washington football team or now the Washington Commanders, they can drive me almost to a nervous wreck. Every Sunday morning, I get tired of losing. Deacon Hendricks, I get tired of losing, but how do I celebrate a team that seemed not to be never winning, you know? My blood pressure can get 20 points higher every time they miss or make a touchdown. It's bad when they make a touchdown because I know that just make my hopes get up. But when my hopes get up, then I can easily be crushed on the next couple of plays. But it don't take much to get me excited about football. And you know, we can sit on the edge of our seats. My daddy used to like box, wrestling. You know, it ain't wrestling, it's wrestling, ain't it? And my daddy will scoot up to the edge of his seat, and I hear my daddy in there, Kelly! I said, Daddy, you don't want to kill him, now kill him! You can get all stirred up when it comes to sports. And I'm amazed as I watch even the Wheel of Fortune. You can watch the Wheel of Fortune, and you can see players winning the puzzles and audience shouting and screaming, and they're hooting because that's their favorite player that is on the Wheel of Fortune. So we can get all excited about celebrating and worshiping our favorite team or our favorite player. But sometimes when it comes to church, we have a hard time getting our worship on. I don't know what is the problem that we can get excited about soccer and football. Have you ever looked at the soccer moms? Them soccer moms can get stirred up, you know, and quick, ain't it? And the kids out there playing ain't but 8 or 9 years old. The soccer mom acting like that's the end of his career. Get all excited. And I found out that soccer is good in the U.S., but if you go to Spain, they will empty the stadium over a missed call during a soccer game. Ain't it amazing how we can get all stirred up and we get turned on our praise for their team? But the thing is, but when it comes to church, I just had to set my tone. We can get stirred up in anything.
Anything.
Huh? Tiddlywinks. Y'all used to play marbles. Oh, Lord. We used to play marbles. And I used to have a stilly. I know a few of y'all had them stillies. We done had a ball burn and we sitting here hitting glass marbles and about breaking them in half. But the thing about it, we got excited about that, ain't we? Calling home after we done played marbles, pocket full of marbles. But why is it that we can do that, but when it comes to church, we ain't figured out yet how to get our praise up. So that's my subject. Now, I want to talk about this morning, how to get your praise up. All right? So let us go into prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for this text that you have given unto us. Lord, let us break this text into a place of edible substances that we can take in to be able to help us to understand our worship and our praise that we should have for God, all that he has done for us, oh Lord. Let us be excited about what God is doing in us, through us, and excited about what he's doing in the church, and just excited about what God is doing in our personal lives, where we can just give him praise, glory, and honor for everything that he has done in us, through us, and for us. Lord, we magnify your name today, Lord. We ask that you would touch man, your dear servant. Touch my lips that I might be able to boldly say those things that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, we thank you today. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Let every heart say amen. You know, if you're wondering how to get your praise on, and I found out that the book of Psalms is a good place for you to go. If you don't know how to get in it, to get excited about it, to get in the groove of worship, read you some of the Psalms of David. What I found out about praise and worship is that there is always this internal fight going on. Or whether I want to be outwardly praising God, or should I be humble? Or should I be honest about what's happening in my life? And sometimes we can let outward circumstances hinder the inward praise that we should have for God in our life. See, praise can be one thing that is wonderful to see, it's wonderful to experience, but praise also can be so plastic that you can see that the individual is trying to excite my emotions rather than trying to let me see the humbleness that he have on the inside or the earnestness of our worship. You know, it can be awkward many times when we sometimes feel like our worship is out of place. Have y'all? I know I'm talking to some folk this morning. Some of you ain't never had that, but you've been in a situation in a church, in a congregation, in a denomination, in a place where people thought that your worship was awkward. And you feel awkward after you got there and you thought you were going to be free to worship. Was that our Sunday school lesson? You're going to be free to worship, but all of a sudden, once you got there, all of a sudden you shouted out and everybody turned around and looked at you. Huh? You started clapping your hands and you got up and wanted to run down the aisle, but when you wanted to run down the aisle, you saw the eyes on you. And all of a sudden you start feeling awful.
Come on, preacher.
See, true praise, you can feel it, can't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever went into a house and they were praising God in the house so strong until you could feel the praise, you could feel the anointing or the presence of the Spirit of God in the house. And sometimes I felt deep down on the inside that when praise don't feel as real to me that I think it should, but sometimes I can see it now bubbling up. It might not feel real, but I can feel it bubbling up from the inside. You have the same discernment of praise around you when and also you know when it's being acted out.
Come on, man.
You know when praise, you can feel when praise is real.
Come on, preacher.
And then you can feel when things are orchestrated. And the Bible gives us like seven Hebrew words that gives us the one English word. Listen, you got seven Hebrew words that gives us the one Hebrew word for praise. We said praise, but in the Hebrew language, they got seven different words that explain praise. We got telelah, which means praise or song of praise. We got hela, which the shine of Shabbat means to soothe. And we have yala, means to cast or to throw. We have malaha, which is praise or boast. And then we have zama, which is to sing praise or to make music. So you got all of these different forms of praise that's in the Hebrew language, but we just said praise. We said one word, and it has to encompass all of those other different forms of praise. But in our study today, we want to look at Zagah or Zamah, which is David's song of thanksgiving to answer prayer that God had given unto him. See, whatever word you use, there's some distinct question that we need to answer about our praise. You must answer the how, the where, the who, the when, and the why of praise, that whether it's relative to the truth or not, or is it really coming out of your spirit? See, it's got to be done in spirit and in truth. So how and when is difficult to define, and we have a hard time doing that. How and the when do we praise, and how do we praise? Who and why should not be a question. We know who we praise.
Yeah.
We should know why we're praising.
Yeah.
But what we're praising, where we're praising, and how we're praising, those are things that somehow we get distorted in our understanding. You remember what Jesus told Satan when he was tempted and he wanted him to bow down to him? He said that thou should worship the Lord thy God and him only should I worship. So we know that once we accept Jesus Christ, we know who we should worship. We know that we worship a God. We know why we should be praising God. But how, where, and when, sometimes that's an argument. In many scriptures, and most arguments on where and when as well, and the Bible says that David said that I will bless the Lord. I know that should be every opportunity that I have, I should utilize that to praise God. I will bless the Lord with all times, and his praise will what? Continually be in my mouth. And David said that my soul. See, the thing is, if you're really praising God, it ain't you. It's your soul should be praising God. My soul shall boast of the Lord and shall humble thereof. And he says, I will magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. It gives us an individual a requirement for praise, but it also gives us a corporate requirement. I can praise God all by myself. Amen.
Yes, you can.
But anything wrong with us praising him here, this corporate. He
yes,
said, I yes, will lift yes. and exalt up his name together. What about Psalm 150? Psalm 150 answers many of the other questions. He says that praise ye the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. It tells you how, where, any way that I should praise God, I should praise him with everything I got, with the psaltery, with the timbrels, with the cymbals. Let everything that has breath, let us praise the Lord. See, listen to David. That sounds like it should be easy to praise God, ain't it? But real praise, you got to praise him in spirit and in truth. But that takes something serious, some humility. You just can't praise God and be boastful at the same time. You can't be bold to come before the throne of God, but then be shy. See, humility and shy and bold and arrogance is two different words. Eh?
Yes, it is.
But we should come boldly before the throne of God, but we got to humble ourselves and bow down before a God that is so high and so loving. See, God doesn't want prideful praise. He doesn't want our prideful praise. He nor does he want us to have a shameful praise.
Right.
No. I shouldn't be ashamed to praise God publicly. If you shamefully praising God, you ain't giving God all you got. You giving God praise while you in public. But when you're by yourself, I'd rather praise God when I'm by myself because I don't feel like I'm boastful. I don't feel like I'm... No, just praise God anyhow. If you come out of your whole heart, he said that everything that has breath, praise God. So see, the thing here, you must be in what the athletes call it. You need to get into your praise zone.
Yes.
Do I have any witness this morning?
Amen.
You can't praise God unless you're in your zone.
In your
zone. I love my mother. My mother wasn't a shouting praise and digging Hendricks. She'd sit there. Mama wasn't the one that moaned and to get that moaning going on in the church. And moaning wasn't exciting, was it? Moaning was kind of, you wonder, what are these old ladies doing? And you see them start moaning, but mama starts moaning and she gets to rocking. And you feel like mama in her zone. Mama won't want to run around the church and get to hollering. Mama was in her zone, but I can't tell you that if your zone ain't my zone.
There you go.
If my zone ain't your zone. But wherever you are, once you get into your zone, that's when you in the, you know that you're praising God. I went to one of my cousins died, and I went to see her last week, and her husband had passed on, and I just sat there and talked with her for a few minutes. Next thing I know, both of us crying.
All
right. Huh? When you have to give God all the glory, huh?
Yes.
When you know it was him, it wasn't you.
When
you can, hey, you don't have to be. See, I'm there to comfort her, and we found out we were praising God. We were praising God, giving. So as I stated before, you can feel where you are when it comes to the presence of God in the house.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the praise of God going on in the house, you feel the presence of his spirit in the house, and it's in the building. See, that's when you know you're in your zone, man. Ain't it good? You don't have to worry about nobody around you. You don't have to worry about nobody hearing you. I don't care if you don't like what I'm doing. If I'm getting my praise on in the house, and look, I'm in my zone.
Hallelujah.
See, you better be worried about where your zone at. Because everybody got a zone, man. You got a zone you need to be in. So as we look at our subject this morning, how to get your praise on. Our first point is that you must have a determination to praise. You got to have a desire, determination to praise. Our text said, I will praise him with my whole heart.
Yes.
Before God. That means not God. Before all of them other little gods that you have. I will sing praises unto thee. See, when you get into the enemy camp, that's when time for you to God praising God.
Yeah.
You start praising them in the enemy's camp. And you want to say that I will praise you with my whole heart in the presence of those other gods. I'm going to lift up the God of Jehovah. I'm going to lift up the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, David said two important words.
Mm-hmm.
I will. See, declaring that what? He will praise God.
Yeah.
The Webster says that will is an expressed desire, a willingness or persistence, a determination to be able to praise God no matter who is around you, no matter where you are. See, the thing is, you can be sitting at a stoplight and you might just have to get your praise on. Hey, look, I don't want to holler because they're going to make fun of me and think I'm going to praise. So I just reach and get it and praise him anyhow, huh?
Yeah.
See, sometimes you might just have to hold it. And see, nothing should stop you from praising God, whether you're in public. or whether you're by yourself. David was determined to praise God no matter what was going on around him. Your outward experience, your circumstances has nothing to do with your level of praise. Tell you the truth, it should have something to do with it. Harder the circumstance, more to pray. I don't know where I'm at, the more to pray. Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, more to pray. Yeah. I don't know what I'm praising them for, more to pray. Yeah. If I don't know what I'm praising them for, I still going to praise him. Yeah. Praise him anyhow.
Yeah.
And see, he made a personal commitment. Listen, he said, I will praise God. Yeah. See, the problem with most church folk is that we don't mind saying I when it comes to accomplishment, but we don't want to say it when it comes to commitment. I'll tell you in a minute, I did this, I did that, but I will do this. Uh-huh. You don't see them hanging around I will too much. Because I will mean that you got to be held accountable for what you just said. He said, when I'm asked to commit, I'm quickly to say we. Oh, dude, y'all missed that, didn't you? When people in the church, when I say I commit, folk going to say, well, we commit. See, we takes the ownership off of what you going to do.
There you go.
Ain't nothing wrong with we. But in order for to have we, Deacon Hendricks, I need some eyes in the church. I can't get we commitment out without having I commitment. You can't have corporate commitment unless you have some what? Individual commitment. So I believe God is looking for some I folks.
Yes, he is.
In the church, some I will folk in the church that don't mind making a commitment that I will praise the Lord. I will love my fellow man. I will reach the down and pick you up. I will be a part of this thing. I will join the happy reunion one day when God comes back to receive his church. I don't want to be standing there by myself. I want to be part of the we. The Bible says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will build my church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I will make you a ruler over men. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give you to the kingdom, keys to the kingdom. I will pour out my spirit. See, I'm glad that Jesus was an I will servant of God. But when, and let me know, in order for the church to be the committed church, the church that's determined to be able to praise God, we need some I will. We will.
I will.
Individuals here trying to hear.
All right, then.
So my question to you this morning, are you determined to say, Lord, I will? I will praise the Lord. At all times. So what about you this morning? You always want us to do something, but you can't do, we can't do nothing with some I will commitment.
All
right. All of these eyes is what makes us we. It makes the body of Christ. But it starts with an I commitment.
I will
serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving and singing. Well, I will. Then the second point, in order for you to get your praise on, is that you got to make sure that God is the object of your praise. David says just four words, I will praise thee. God got to be the object of our praise. The major point of our argument in any religion, I don't care whether it's Hinduism or Islam or Christianity or Judaism, you got to understand the object of your praise. Everybody who prays any religion know the object of their praise. So if we are followers of Jesus Christ, If we're a worshiper of the God who sits on high, we got to know who he is, ain't it? So we worship. The object of our praise is God, Jehovah. He's the one and the only God. And Moses, he wrote in the book of Laws, he said that, I am the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. See, God commands us. He demands us to have him and him only as the object of our praise.
Yes.
You can praise, you can come in church and have a whole lot of praise on, and you ain't praised God yet.
Come on.
You can do that in church.
Come on, preacher.
Huh? You could be praising the preacher.
Come on, preacher.
You could be praising the church facility, organization. You can be praising a whole lot and not even have God in the equation. But he said that I am a what? Jealous God. And see, God commands us to praise him all. Nothing, even our family, children, wife, country, anything, we cannot praise above God. Ain't nothing wrong with giving your country praise. Ain't nothing wrong with giving your wife praise. Ain't nothing wrong with giving your pastor praise. Ain't nothing wrong with giving your husband praise. But make sure that you have praised God above all earthly creations. Ain't it? See, Moses writes that God is jealous. And he'll exact his judgment upon those who disobey him. The question is, who are these other gods that he warned us about that we might praise? See, they could be what? Your church. Mm-hmm. It could be your denomination. Mm-hmm. It could be the preacher. It could be the doctrine. Mm-hmm. It could be a person. You know, it could be a place. It could be something else. It doesn't take a whole lot for us as human beings to get our praise off God.
Nope.
Huh? Sometimes we get a new car. Get to church and we got the new car on our hearts and minds so much that we somehow praising the car instead of praising God for giving us the car. Huh? It was him that gave us the car. See, stuff is hard for to get out of our spirit in order for us to have the praise of God that we should. How you praise God that all you're thinking about is what? Your stuff. Huh? Eastern religions, they praise man and animals and things, but we are not Eastern religions. We praise God, and him only should we praise.
Amen.
Don't. See, whether it's a rock or whether it's $1 million home, it's still sin to praise that stuff above God. Ain't it amazing? You got a multi-$1 million house, you praise that. That looked like something, don't it? But you got folk out here praising rocks.
All right.
You know, I told you about Abraham. Abraham's father, Terah, had 9 more gods of rocks and wood and stone. And Abraham asked him, how can you praise something that's dead and sterile?
All right.
Then you got a God that's alive and well.
All right.
Huh? We'll worship stuff more than we worship God. So God don't want nothing to be the object of our praise. Praise and other things only separate us further away from the God that we should be trying to draw nearer to. Praise and other things only strengthens our unbelief in God and distance ourselves from him. You remember what Jesus told his disciples? For they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. See, we can get in the church and have it all stirred up and finally realizing that we were praising other things more than we were praising God. You know? We should make sure that the point of our praise is always what? On him. And then we ask, so what is the proper way to praise? How do we praise God effectively? So again, we stay right here in the verse that he said, I will praise him what? I will praise thee with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. See, we got to give God our whole heart. What I've learned about praise is that you just can't give God part of it. Huh? Isn't Isn't that what I told you all? I can't give you all of me. I can't give God part of me. I can't give this thing just part of my life. I got to be willing to go all the way with God. Whatever task I accept, I got to be willing to give him all of me, not just part of me. You remember the message about Ananias and Sapphira? They tried to give God part of their blessing. And I talked about it on Friday evening, Sister Clarissa. What's the difference between sin and blasphemy? Sin is that you have a disobedience to the word of God. Blasphemy is irreverence to the man of God, to the word of God, or to God, the Godhead. Irreverence to the God. You reject the one way that will lead you. He said that's why blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is sin, because the only way that can be drawn to Christ, the only way that you can be drawn to God is by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you reject the only way that you can be drawn to God, that's blasphemy. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because you've rejected the way that will draw you. The only way you know about Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, won't it? But the only way that you can know about him, it says that Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't sin against God. They sinned against the Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus came clothed with mercy mm-hmm. and grace. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit don't know nothing but truth. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit didn't come with mercy and grace. That's Jesus' role. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, only thing I know is truth. He said, well, are you going to give me some mercy? He said, talk to Jesus about that. Because my role is to teach you the truth. He will teach you truth in all things. See, the proper way isn't about the method. The proper way is about being wholeheartedly coming to him. See, the method of praise that you use, it got to come out of the heart. If it's not coming out of the heart, it's not true worship. See, I can't be taught, trained, or choreographed to be able to worship if it's not the truth. You can teach people how to say it if the preacher has to jack you up every Sunday morning. Can I get an amen? Can I say it again? Come on, put your hands together. If I got to choreograph worship, that's not worshiping in spirit and in truth. Ain't nothing wrong with me saying it. But if that's the only way I can get praise out of you, something is wrong. You know what God has done for you. You know what God has done for your life. See, have you ever just shouted out in church? All of a sudden, have you ever just bust out in tears? Folk in church looking around wondering what's wrong with him. Huh? Have you ever just started to shake and quiver? Huh? Didn't know why, didn't have no reasonable excuse. That's true praise. True praise comes in ways that you and I quite not understand everything. See, praise usually come out of turmoil anyway, doesn't it? Huh? It usually come out of conflict, always some trial or tribulation that you're having. Like, see, that spontaneous outburst is when all of that other stuff, the trials, the conflict, the turmoil, and the confusion, all of that gets filled up. Something got to burst. When that thing bursts open, all of a sudden you wonder why you can't hold the tears back, wonder why you can't quit shouting, wonder why you can't run. You can't do it because what God is saying, he's trying to let that thing break out of you. Yes. And praise got to break out of you. Yes. Many times you can't hold that thing back. Huh? David wrote in Psalms 33, he said, praise the Lord with the harp. Sing with a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. And then when you break out, you don't know why you're doing it, but the only thing I know, something had to happen.
Something did.
Something, old folk, we said bust. Y'all said burst. But when that thing about to bust, when that thing trying to bust open, yeah, you do the best you can try to hold on. And I don't want to act like folk think I'm crazy, but when they bust loose. See, David tells us to praise the Lord with everything you got. Let it be known. See, that's what a loud noise means. You got to let somebody know. Praise God is just not Lord's alone either. It you got to have a, David called it, he said, you got that contrite heart. You got to have a remorseful, repentant heart in order for to praise God. Making noise without having a contrite or a repentant heart, that ain't right. That's what? That's noise. That's noise. See, remember what I told you about sporting event? You have to have a heart into what you're praising. If it's your own team or whether it's God, God wants you to do it with your own heart. Don't worry about how others are praising God. Don't worry about how they get that praise on. You get your praise on the way that you want to get your praise on. How did God move? Look, if he had done for you, for what he done for me, you'd be running around here too. I like Pastor Lee said, you don't know my story. See, you don't know where God brought me from. You don't know what God has done in my life. So if I look funny, I just look funny. Huh? I'm going to praise him with everything I got. Get in the fourth. Our fourth. Let me get in the hurry here. Where do you praise God? Where do we praise God? Look what our text said. Before the gods will I praise thee. I will worship them toward a holy mountain. I'll praise thy name, thy loving kindness and thy truth. For thou hast magnified the word above all thy name. David tells us that we praise God in front of all of them other kings and all of the other gods. Let's not be shy to praise God in front of other gods. Because, hey, our God is worth praising. I don't know about y'all. You may not care that much about your little God, but that God that I serve is worthy of my praise. And my praise, I should be just as free as praise. You know, we said free to worship this morning. We should not allow of where we are to affect our praise. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't modify your praise every now and then. You know where you're at. You're in the workplace. And certain things that you can say, certain things you can't say. But you know I can praise God. I can pray to him with my eyes closed and I ain't got to move my lips. I can praise him if I just sat there. Folk come by my work stand and if I'm sitting there just shaking, every now and then maybe they know that I'm praising God. But you don't have to have an outward expression always to praise God. You can praise God with your whole heart. See, if I feel like I want to shout out, I just excuse myself going over around the building, get out in the corner and just let it go. Or just praise him on anyhow, huh? Hey, look. The after effects is going to be what it is anyway, so you might as well just holler on out, ain't it? See, I let me out a good scream, and then I come back into the meeting, and I have that glory of God, a radiance on my face. See, when the thing is, when you start praising God, you get that radiance. When Moses went up into the mountain, he came back with the radiance of God on my face. When you're praising God, you ain't got to say nothing. Folk going to look at you and see. Oh, he got the radiance of God on his face. So he must be in the presence of the Most High God. See, you ain't got to tell folk you're praising God. They can see that you look, it's something about you today. It's something about you today, huh? You know? I said, look, I was just thanking God for what he done for me. That's all I was doing. Huh? See, don't put a show on in your praise. See, God ain't pleased with that either. Huh? Don't put no show on. When you do anything for Christ, the Bible says does it decently and in order. He tells the people in Corinth there that you should be able to do what you do, but do it in order. He tells us to keep it in the right perspective.
Yes.
See? You can praise God, but you gotta do it in the right perspective.
Amen.
So get your praise on.
Yeah.
Do it decently in order.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Do it with a certain amount of behavior and respect. You know, and if you can't shout, the song says, if I can't say a word. There were football players, do you see them coming off the field, man? This is name. We point to heaven. So Davis gave us the answer. Where do we direct our praise? Toward the holy temple. See, back in that dispensation, they had to face the holy temple. But look, only thing I know, I serve a God now that sits high, but he looks low. I serve a God that is everywhere. His spirit indwells in me. This is his holy temple. My body is the temple of the Lord. I got to praise him in his holy temple. That means that I got to keep the spirit of God forever alive in my life. So I magnify him by what my life. I magnify him by how I live my life, how I carry myself. Lift up the name of Jesus. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And not with a multiplicity of words. See, we think that folk are praising God because of the multiplicity of words. You can say a whole lot, but not have a whole lot of praise. Sound like it, but it doesn't have to be because it wasn't with the whole heart. Then our last point, to know why you are praising God. What our text said, he said, and praise thy name with loving kindness, and thy truth is magnified above all thy name. In that day he cried, and I answered, thou strengthened me with thy strength of my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord. And when thou hear the words of thy mouth, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord, and thou shalt be high, and yet respect unto the lowly. But the proud shall know afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies. Thy right hand shall save me, and the Lord will perfect that which concerned me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. The worst thing can happen in praise is choreographed praise. Mm-hmm. Not knowing why you're doing what you're doing. Just making noise. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want us to fall into that pagan worship of repetitive chanting, just saying the thing over and over, just to make sure people think the more I repeat it, the more I mean it. Huh? The more you repeat it doesn't mean you really mean it. It means that you're caught up into you've seen people get caught up into a repetitive chant and they get into a frenzy that all of a sudden it has very little to do with them worshiping God. They're caught up into a frenzy. And God doesn't want that. God wants a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, and look, I don't care what your worship look like. What does your life reflect? Right. And I like the old song says, praise him by living as a Christian ought. Live your life according to the will of God. If you know that Jesus saved you, if you know that he turned your life around, he picked you up and put you on the solid rock, took your feet out of the miry clay and put your feet on solid ground, gave you spiritual eyes to see, and he put a praise in your heart, that's all you need to know. I know why I praise God, because he took this poor old farm boy from Gladys. He picked me up. He took shoes, barefooted, put shoes on my feet. I was shy, couldn't talk, gave me a tongue to talk, gave me boldness to be able to speak. He sent me here at Piney Hill to be able to be a pastor to you. He gave me some spiritual eyes to have some vision. He gave me some artistic ability to be able to do things, to be able to help the vision come true. But I know that I'm not praising him for that. I'm praising him because he is the source of everything that I have. I'm praising him because it was Jesus. It was Jesus that did it. David said that God looks down on the low, but he looks down, but he picks us up and he pulls us from a mighty long way. And when I was in trouble, he said he revived me. When I was too high, he pulled me down. When I was too low, he picked me up. And when I cast down my enemies away from me, he saved me. And when I was lost, he found me. That's why I can give God all the praise. That's enough to praise him about. got right there. If God has done anything for you, you need to give God some praise this morning. Get your praise on. To let the world know who Jesus is. So as we close this morning, let us learn that our praise got to be individual in order for us to be collectively praising him. Amen. The problem that many of us try to praise him collectively without having an individual personal relationship with him. Get to know Jesus for yourself. Mm-hmm. Huh? Acknowledge that what he had done for you that nobody else could do. And then we can praise God collectively. Once all of us get into the same perspective of understanding. See, let's not get caught up into choreographed praise that has very little meaning. If I ask you to give the Lord a hand clap, I don't have no problem with you giving a hand clap, but make sure you know who you're clapping for. And if I tell you to tell your neighbor next door that I got to worship God in spirit and in truth, make sure you worshiping him in spirit and in truth. When you feel that you have given God your all, you need to learn to get your praise on. Hey, look, not somebody else's praise. I want you to get your praise on. Huh? Don't worry about how nobody else doing it. Do it the way that God had put in your spirit. Praise him however you want to praise him. And as long as you give his name glory. I like what the old hymn that said, I cannot forget when I was fed. I was head hanging down and my soul feeling bad. All I could say is, Lord, take my heart. Jesus heard and saved me, and he gave me a start. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. I have a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. Is Jesus sweet to you this morning? He's been sweet to me. I don't know about you this morning. If he's been sweet to you, let's give him some praise this morning. God is real. He's real down in my soul. I cannot keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. I'm glad what God has done for me in my life. Every now and then, I just have to cry out and thank him for what he's done for me. I don't know about you this morning. That's enough for me to get excited about. If I can just tell you what God has done for me, it will outnumber any and everything that you could ever think about. Don't let anybody steal your praise. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him at midnight. Praise him when things are going good. Praise him when things are going bad. Praise him when you're sick. And praise him when you're well. Praise him when you can't move. Praise him when you got use of your limbs. So be determined to give God some praise. Whatever you're doing, take the time to know what you're praising for. Know who you're praising. Know why you're praising. Then know when to praise it. When is the proper time to praise it? David said, all times. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let us get our praise on for what God has done and what he is doing. In spite of how things look, God is still in the blessing business. Amen. Huh? He's still in the blessing business. And we should have praise in our hearts for just doing that. You know? I thank God for the time I've been here that I can praise God that he's done great things here through us, with us. In spite of us, God is still doing great things. You know something else? Until he comes, he's going to continue to do great things.
Amen.
So my prayers is that this church will continue to praise God.
Yes.
Praise him in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Praise him in the streets.
Yes.
I like what he told the disciples. He had a wedding feast. He invited everybody he could, and the house was still not filled. He told the disciples, he gave them two commands. going into the streets and compel people to come. And then he said, go into the hedges and the highway. Let us go out. And once you start praising God out there, you'll have a house full of folk praising him in him. We got to praise God to the world so the world can see how good God is. And once he prays him to the world, old folks said that they'll make a beaten path to the doorstep. But we got to praise God. We can't say, Paul, me, while we're out there, and then expect people to want to come to serve a God that we're living in a Paul me. You're in a Paul me situation. But you want people to come into Piney Hill to get the fullness of God. If he's the fullness of God is operating here, I ain't got no for me. I'm saying glory to you. Glory to God on the highest, and peace and goodwill to all men. God bless you. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you. Hopefully we learn to get our praise on, be excited about, have a determination to praise, know how to praise, know where to praise, know who we are praising, and know what praise you we should have on our hearts at all times. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
We pray for this branch of Zion in the most special way. We pray for them, and we pray for what we're doing and how you're doing it. Lord, we ask that you would just touch them in a mighty way.
Yeah.
Help us, oh Lord, be that which you desire us to be. Put to death those things that should not be in our lives, that we might grow closer to you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Let the household of faith say it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.